Welcome back, and let's get into a proper Brake Lab session in Ableton Live 12. In this lesson, we're building a chop stack for those old-school jungle and early DNB vibes, then using automation to make the whole thing feel a live across a drop. So we're not just slicing a break and looping it, we're turning it into a moving, breathing drum section with attitude. The big idea here is simple. Take one break, slice it into playable pieces, stack a few related layers, and then automate movement so the loop doesn't feel static. That's the whole game. In jungle and DNB, the drums are not just supporting the track. They're the track. They carry the energy, the tension, the rush, and that slightly dangerous feeling that makes the style hit so hard. We're going to keep this stock only inside Ableton, using tools like drum rack, simpler, sliced to new MIDI track, auto filter, glue compressor, saturator, drum bus, echo, and automation lanes. And the focus is not just on making a chopped break, but on building a stack. That means a main break, a top layer for motion, and a dirtier layer for grit and impact. So let's start at the source. First, choose a break with character. Something Eminem-ish, something Think-like, a dusty funk break, anything with strong ghost notes and a snare that actually speaks. Drag it into Ableton and set your tempo around 170 to 174 BPM, depending on the energy you want. In the clip view, turn warp on. For this kind of material, beats mode is usually your best first stop because it keeps the break punchy and tight. Find a clean start transient, and don't overdo the warping. That's really important. If you clamp the life out of the break, you lose the feel that makes jungle sound alive in the first place. We want a little human drift. We want motion, not perfection. A good rule here is to keep the clip gain controlled so the break peaks somewhere around -12 to -8 dB before processing. That gives you room to build the stack without clipping everything immediately. Now we chop. Right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. For the slicing mode, Transient is usually the most useful because it gives you a natural map of the break. If you want a more grid-based approach, 1/8 notes can work too, but transient slices usually give you more personality. Once Ableton creates the drum rack, don't keep every slice just because it exists. Be selective. You want the pads that actually serve the groove. Focus on your kick hits, snare hits, hats, ghost notes, and any weird little fill fragments that have character. Rename the useful pads right away so you know what you're reaching for. Kick, snare, top hat, ghost, fill, noise. Keep it simple. The more clearly you think about the roles of the slices, the easier the groove becomes. And here's a good teacher tip. If a slice feels too long or too sloppy, shorten the release and simpler or trim the tail. A lot of the ugly overlap in chopped breaks comes from envelope length, not from bad EQ. So tighten the note length before you reach for heavy processing. Now we program the main groove. Make a 2-bar MIDI loop that feels designed, not random. The vibe here is old-school jungle tension. That means a snare anchor you can trust, syncopated kick fragments, ghost notes slipping into the next beat, and the occasional repeat chop before the snare. You want enough detail to feel frantic, but enough space to breathe. Use the groove pool if needed and give it a light swing, somewhere around 54 to 58% feel, depending on the source material. Don't quantize every hit to death. Let a few ghost notes sit a touch early or late on purpose. That slight asymmetry is a huge part of the feel. Also, vary velocity so repeated chops don't sound copied and pasted. A nice way to think about the first 2 bars is like this. Bar 1 establishes the statement. Bar 2 repeats it with a tiny change. Maybe one kick moves, maybe one top chop turns into a fill, maybe a ghost note lands a little differently. That small variation keeps the loop from becoming wallpaper. Now let's stack it. Duplicate that drum rack track and make a top chop layer. This layer is not supposed to fight the main break. Its job is to add movement up top. Hats, tiny snare ghosts, reversed fragments, quick chatter, little nervous details that make the rhythm feel more alive. On this duplicate, use simplers or alternate slices. Then process the layer lightly. High pass it with auto filter somewhere, around 200 to 400 Hz so it stays out of the low end way. If it gets muddy, use EQ8 to trim the low mids around 250 to 500 Hz. Add a touch of saturator, maybe 1 to 4 dB of drive, just enough to give it some bite. If the stereo picture gets messy, utility can help you trim the width or keep it tighter. Think of this layer as airborne motion. If the main break is the engine, this is the rattling metal on top. Now for the character layer. Make a third version of the break stack and process it more aggressively. This is your dirty parallel layer, and you keep it low in the mix. The idea is not to replace the main drums, it's to add weight, grime, and attitude. A good chain here might be autofilter, saturator with soft clip-on, drum bus, maybe a touch of redux if you want extra crunch, and then utility to pull the level way down. You might drive the saturator anywhere from 3 to 8 dB, and use drum bus pretty modestly, maybe 5 to 20% drive depending on how rough you want it. The key is to make it nasty enough to feel, but not so loud that it smears the whole groove. This layer becomes especially powerful when you automate it in and out around fills, phrase endings, and transitions. That sudden arrival of dirt is what makes the section feel like it's opening up or leaning forward. Now we get to the part that really makes this lesson work, automation. This is where the loop stops being a loop and starts being a record on your main break or group bus. Automate auto filter. A nice move is to begin the section a little darker, maybe with a low pass around 8 to 12 kHz, then open it gradually over the next 2 to 4 bars towards 16 to 20 kHz. You don't need huge filter sweeps all the time. Subtle movement often feels more powerful, especially in DNB where the drums already have so much internal energy. You can also automate the resonance, but keep it tasteful. Around 0.20 to 0.45 is often enough, just enough to give the movement some shape without turning into a whistle. Then think about the supporting automation moves. Maybe a small echo throw on one snare chop. Maybe a bit more saturator drive in the last bar of a phrase. Maybe a slight bump in drum bus transients right before the drop hits. Maybe a quick utility gain drop for a half bar mute effect. These are all tiny moves, but in DNB tiny changes can feel massive because the groove is moving so fast. A very clean arrangement idea is this. Bars 1 and 2 stay a little closed and restrained. Bars 3 and 4 open up the top layer and bring in the dirty layer. Bar 5 strips the dirt for contrast. Bar 6 gives you a snare chop with a short echo throw. Bars 7 and 8 bring the full stack back with a small fill to push into the next phrase. That's the kind of motion that makes a drop feel like it's evolving, not just repeating. Now we need the low end to behave. If you're pairing this with bass, keep the relationship disciplined. The break already owns a lot of the low mid space, so the bass needs a roll, not a takeover. A simple sub pattern or a re-pulse is usually enough. Let the bass answer the drums instead of stacking on top of every hit. Use operator for a clean sub, or wavy-table or analog if you want a more textured bass tone. Keep the sub mono. Keep anything under 120 Hz locked down. If you want stereo on a res, make sure it's mostly in the mids and highs, not the actual sub-region. And use automation here too. A bass filter opening on phrase starts, a darker bass during busy drum fills, a little resonance before a switch-up. That call and response between break and bass is pure DNB language. Next, turn your 2-bar idea into a proper section. Duplicate it into an 8-bar phrase and think like an arranger. Bars 1 and 2 are the core groove. Bars 3 and 4 add more top layer movement and a bit more bass activity. Bars 5 and 6 bring in the dirty layer and maybe a short snare fill. Bar 7 strips things back a little to create tension. Bar 8 returns the full stack and lands the transition. You can also use returns and sends to add punctuation. A bit of reverb on selected snares, a short echo trail on one fill hit, maybe a return track with atmospheric noise or filtered wash. But keep it under control. In old-school DNB, too much wash can soften the whole thing. These effects should feel like punctuation marks, not a permanent haze. Here's the mindset to keep while you work. If a layer doesn't have a clear job, it probably doesn't belong. One layer can be impact, one layer can be motion, one layer can be mess. That roll-based thinking keeps the groove readable. Also, don't be afraid of accenting the wrong places on purpose. A ghost chop a little early, a hit slightly late, a phrase where one note leans against expectation, that's part of the character. As long as the rest of the groove stays stable, those small surprises feel intentional and alive. Another huge tip, check the loop quietly. If the chop stack still feels exciting at low volume, the groove is probably strong. If it only sounds good when it's loud, you may be leaning too hard on processing instead of rhythm. And remember, contrast matters. If every layer hits equally hard all the time, the loop gets fatiguing fast. Build contrast between transients and body. Let one layer crack, let another layer tail, let another layer dirty the edges. That separation is what makes the stack feel thick without turning into mush. Common mistakes to watch for here: overchopping the break, making every chop equally loud, leaving too much low end in every layer, automating too many things at once, or destroying the break with too much processing on the main layer. Keep the core readable. Preserve the transient on the main break. Push the grit into parallel layers instead. If you want to push this darker and heavier, a few extra tricks work really well. Use parallel saturation instead of crushing the main break. Try a low-pass automation dip right before a snare fill, then open it hard on the next bar. Use echo with very short delays only on selected chopped snares, and keep feedback low so it throws rather than floods. On the bass, let filters sweep just enough to make room for the densest drum moments. And for serious movement, resample the stack after processing and chop the bounce again. That often gives you a more unified, finished record kind of drum tone.